we have to understand that each and every single one of us carry a gift from God, carry something that is already in us. It doesn't matter if you're 2 weeks old as a Christian, you're already walking in a gift. It's already there. It's already planted within you. And we'll get into some understanding there about where that gift comes from, how we get it, and even not only that, but when we get it. Actually, I think we can go on the little screen today. I don't know. I'm not sure. Are we going on the little screen? Oh, the big screen. Okay. We didn't talk about it. Hallelujah. Well, again, just so glad to be getting into some of these truths. And I've had some feedback from some who are just sort of saying that it's truth that we need to have, because when you build, you've got to get your foundation right. First things first, you build on a foundation. Don't get your foundation right and the whole thing gets a little wobbly a little bit later on. It's so important because to understand that, because this is the way it goes. Your gifts will take you where only character can keep you. Say that again. Your gifts will take you where only character can keep you. Get a hold of that. You know, and we get into these truths here. It's character building. It establishes within us an understanding of really who we are in Christ, who we're to be, how we're to behave, how we're to, you know, the heart that we're to come from. So we're in this series on going on to maturity. And it's so important that we do that. Who wants to stay a baby as a Christian? No one I know. I tell you what, quickest way to offend another believer is to call them a baby Christian. That is the quickest way. Not that I, you know, go around saying, well, you're just a baby. Grow up. I don't go around saying that. But you know that in people's hearts and lives, you don't want to stay where you were. And we've talked about that last week. You know, the Lord wants to take us from where we are. He'll love us where we are, but he doesn't want us to stay where we are. He wants us to grow. He wants us to develop. He wants us to go on to another level. You know, the topic that we've been in has had us looking at being the people that God has called us to be. The church, which means the called out ones. That's what the word church means. It means the called out ones. And that really, again, establishes where those that have been born again have been set apart for the Lord's purposes. And of course, for his service. God calls us for his service, to serve him in some way. And now that may not be getting up and with an instrument on Sunday morning, but there's other areas of service in our lives. There's other giftings that we should be familiar with, that they are designed for us to serve him with. Your gifts will keep you, will take you where only character can keep you. And that's where that understanding comes from. You know, let's just recap a little bit. We've understood in this current framework is that we go from sinner to saint. There's a transition, a shift. In that pathway to maturity, we all have to go from sinner to saint. We can't stay sinners. The Lord separates us, calls us out as the church. And of course, we go from sinner to saint. That's that new birth. That's where we begin, that new beginning. We all start in the same place in that journey. It's that, you know, God's work of sanctification, separation. It's that point that God separates us to himself. He calls the church out to himself. We become his. You know what? You're not your own. A lot of people need to get a hold of that little truth right there. You are not your own. And guess what? You're not mine neither. You're not mine. You don't belong to me. You belong to God. You're not your own anymore. And therefore, the things that we do, the way that we behave, need to be in the light of his calling to be separated, to be his. We're not our own anymore. And we've been saying that this separation is biblically called sanctification. And we can therefore biblically look at others, those that are sitting next to you, those that are around you, as saints, the saints of God. Right beside you. You know, just think about that. Saints, those separated people and the separated ones. And we must never forget where we came from. And the reason being is a bit like going for a, you know, you go off driving in the bushes and in the dunes and, you know, for me out to Bard Creek, where, you know, we're up and down the same road trying to figure out where we are. A couple of times that happened. You could cut the tension in the car like a knife, you know, you really could. But anyways, they're going back and forth, trying to find the entrance down onto the beach. But, you know, you find that when you're lost, the thing that you need most of all is to know where you came from. You lose track of that, and of course, you're kind of in no man's land a little bit. You know, it's that process of transitioning from sinners to saints that we then find out that we need to remember that journey, because we need to be able to find others that are still in that sin state and bring them over into that sanctification that we've been called to, that we've received ourselves. And you know, the thing that we've been looking at is that the process of sanctification in our lives continues. It doesn't stop once you get your ticket stamped or you're a saint now. It doesn't stop. It continues, doesn't it? You know, as we submit, as we're even singing this morning, Rach, just that consecration, you know, making him all, you know, so important. It's that outworking of the new man that we are in Christ, as a new life in Christ works its way from the inside to the out. And that's the thing that I love about Christianity. God does a complete work on the inside of us, and the task is to allow that to come out. You know, that point when we gave our lives to Jesus, when we received him as Saviour and Lord, is the point that outworking started. And we become that new man at that point, but the new man needs to work out of us and become more and more Christ-like. We become those sons and daughters formed in his image, become more and more like him. You know, we considered how it's true to say we're saved, we're being saved, and we will be saved. It's true. Every one of those points are true. Just like saying, I'm set apart, I'm being set apart, and one day I will be set apart in heaven. Amen. You know, Paul refers to that process of sanctification over in Philippians in chapter 1. In verse 6, and it says there, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of words in here that are applicable to this message today. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who were in Philippi. There was a lot of saints in Philippi, and they had beating hearts and they were alive. Okay? Grace to you. To all the saints of Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, we'll get to that, the bishops and deacons. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making requests for you with all joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until his return, he's still working on us. There's a process of sanctification going on in every one of our lives. We don't make it when we can park in the pastor's car park. We haven't made it. It's true. Some people try and park there and see how it feels. I'll tell you, you'll know. It doesn't feel right, okay? Especially if I want that. But you know, the thing we have to understand is there's a lot of things that make you think that you've made it, but guess what? We'll keep going. And even, you know, after you've been, you know, you've done some things and maybe done some exploits for God and been used of the Lord, you think you've made it. Guess what? You haven't yet. We still need to keep going on and continuing on with the Lord. He has begun a good work in us, and he will, of course, be keeping at it. We just have to keep ourselves on the potter's wheel, don't we? Just keep ourselves on the potter's wheel, where we're under the master's hands. Don't give up on him working in you to fulfill his work in you and to bring forth those gifts to full fruition. You know, he's smoothing off the bumps and lumps sometimes. That's never pleasant sometimes when you feel the master's hand, you know, just working on that little area that you all know what I'm talking about. And we all have them. We all have those little areas where he's working. You know, we should all welcome that sanctifying hand of God in our lives, where he sets us apart just a little bit more. A little bit of ouch involved with that sometimes. just like the clay pot on the wheel where he puts some more water on it to sort of, you know, smooth it a little bit more. You'll see that, the water of the word. And of course, the last prayer of Jesus here on earth was prayed for the church. And it contains reference to that process of sanctification, that ongoing source of sanctification as well gets a mention. And here's Jesus praying to the Father. John 17, verse 13 to 16. It says this, "But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word." This is Jesus' last prayer, and it's for the church, and it's for us. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Why is that? Well, we've been separated. We're not of the world anymore. Now, you might go out there and have your moments and have your little areas of pleasure and enjoyment out of the world, but just understand that you're not of the world. You've been separated of God for purpose. Make sure you notice where the ongoing sanctification, you know, that ongoing process, where that's gained from. Make sure you notice where that comes from. It's through God's word. Jesus continues to pray and makes it clear for us in verse 17. It says, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." That's our sanctification process. You know, you hear the word and just another little lump gets knocked off us. You know, a revelation from the word, just another little area where he smooths us over a little bit. Some area where maybe we need his word in our lives. And look what it says, "And as you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So here it goes. We're not of the world, but we're being sent into the world. We're out there because we're separate. We've got something on our lives that the people that are still stuck in the world, still sinners, need to receive from us. So that's where we progress to, is that we progress to that place where we can actually have an impact into the lives of other people. "And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth." Well, I guess the question for us all then is, where to from here? Where to from sinner to saint? Where do we go? What's the next part? What's the thing that we need to give ourselves to? We gave ourselves to praying the prayer of salvation at some point. Well, what's the next step after we're saints? Because that's immediate. It's that, certainly there's a growth and there's a development, there's an understanding, there's an ongoing sanctification that goes on. But where to from here? Well, we go from sinner to saint. We then go from sinner, as to say, from saint to servant. Saint to servant. We start to serve, and I really believe the Lord wants us to understand a few more things about serving him, and we're going to look at it. A great example of God separating a people to himself is seen in the Lord delivering his chosen people, Israel, out of the land of Egypt. And of course, that's found over there in Exodus. Really good area to go to in the Bible is to read about Exodus. So many parallels to our salvation out of darkness and over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So many parallels there. But Exodus chapter 7 and verse 14, it says there, "So the Lord said to Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hard. He refuses to let the people go. Go to Pharaoh in the morning when he goes out to the water, and you shall stand by the river's bank to meet him. And the rod which was turned into a serpent you shall take in your hand, and you shall say to him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me to you, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. But indeed, until now, you would not hear." Some versions in the scripture translate the word, that same word, serve, as worship. And we get this picture of, you know, God wanting, you know, the people to come out to worship him. It's actually to serve and work for him. There's that understanding. It's because our service to him, the work that we do with him, is like worship. It is like worship. And what we need to see is that in being separated to God through Jesus Christ, we're called to serve his purposes. not our purposes, his purposes, and to let our lives be all about glorifying him, letting him be seen in our midst, where he becomes strong on our behalf. Amen? So very important. You know, we need to shine in our service to God. It may be seem like only a subtle difference, but that shining is going to another level. It's that realization that we can be very accurate and effective in our service. That's the part where it's not about my might and, of course, my power, because the Bible says it's not about my might, my power. The Bible says it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. This is where we start to connect with the power of God in our lives for what we're to do, for the gift and ministry that support our lives. We start to connect with that and start to come out of that in our service. I want to talk about that this morning. We begin to shine. You know, look at Moses. He goes up on the mount to receive the law of God, God's instructions for the people, and he comes back shining. He wasn't needing to be religious to get anyone's attention, to carry that air of leadership. He had God's presence on him. He was shining. It's amazing, isn't it? You think about it. And the Lord calls us all to shine for him. And shining, that shining comes from his presence. It doesn't come from a position. It doesn't come from a profile or a badge or a special seat on Sunday. Won't get you that. You know, those things won't get you that. It's that shining. And the Lord calls us to shine for him. Amen. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus makes it clear, and we should see it. You are the light of the world. Sorry, I've got the salt of the earth there, but just read down to verse 14. It says, you are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp to put it under a basket. Instead, they set it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Which brings me to my next point. Your gift doesn't bring attention to you. It should bring attention to God. Wow. That's one that some people need to just digest for a moment. Because we need to see the right motive for serving the Lord. We need to see that when we begin to shine, it's not because we're good at what we do. It's because God is recognized in what we do. Amen. God is recognized in what we do. Our serving God is for the purpose of glorifying our Heavenly Father. I'll say that again. Our serving God is for the purpose of glorifying our Heavenly Father. The moment our service becomes about us, drawing attention to us, we lose the shine. That's that sense of God's presence, that's lost. The minute we start taking some of that glory, I want some of that glory, guess what? We lose the shine. You know, this is where our serving of the Lord must come out of our following him, spending time in his word, walking and talking with him. So critical. Letting him lead us and guide us. You see, that is following him. John 12, verse 26, Jesus teaches on this very truth. He says, if anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. But that last little bit. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. How does he honor us? He honors us with his giftings and his anointing. You know, that capacity that we know we don't have, but we need. We need to look for it. And as I even said, you know, as we begin to see other gifts as well, we're going to be spending a little bit of time around this area about the giftings on our life, the giftings on the lives of others as well. And, you know, even as I shared earlier, is that you can pull on that gift with your expectation. We can start to recognize that people around us have a gifting from God, and we can pull on it and actually gain benefit from it as well. And notice this, glorify God because of it. He honors us with his presence and power. That is why we should be a people of prayer. I say that again. He honors us with his presence and power. And that's why we should be that people of prayer. You know, he's given us gifts to serve him with. We don't do it in our own strength. It's about working with him, and you'll hear us saying this from time to time. It's about working with him and not for him. That's cooperating with his gifts and yours. If I was to say, hands up everyone that knows their gifts, what gifts are on their life, how many people's hands would still be down? If I was to do that, how many people's hands would still be down because they're not sure of their gifting? And we need to take a little moment to see and see if we can recognize giftings that we should be aware of that are actually active in our life. The life of service to God and his kingdom is best undertaken with a desire to glorify him with the gifts that he's given us. So essential. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 to 11 out of the Amplified, it says this: just as each one of you has received a special gift, in brackets, a spiritual talent, an ability graciously given by God, or preaching my sermon here, employ it in serving one another as is appropriate for good stewards of God's multifaceted grace. Faithfully using the diverse, varied gifts and abilities granted to Christians by God's unmerited favour, verse 11, whoever speaks to the congregation is to do it as one who speaks the oracles, the utterances, the very words of God. Now that's something that those that speak the word and those that preach the word, teach the word, need to get a hold of. Is that we're to speak as though we are speaking the very word of God and touching people's hearts with that word and understanding that that is exactly what's going on. Amen. Little preacher coming up. Hallelujah. Whoever serves the congregation is to do it as one who serves by the strength which God abundantly supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified, honoured and magnified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wow. It's a great little passage there. I told you I like the Amplified version. I'd bring at least one verse out, sort of. But that's a real good one, and that really speaks of what we're talking about here today. Paul calls making our bodies a living sacrifice our reasonable service. He calls it our reasonable service. So it's not unreasonable for us to actually make our lives a living sacrifice to him, and our bodies also, making sure it's for his purposes. He's talking about our sanctification and even the process of ongoing transformation by renewing our minds, not being conformed to the world, but being holy and separate from the world. Romans 12, we should go there as well. It says there, Romans 12, verse 1 to 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How do you transform your mind? By the word of God. By the word of God. Transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, that's a process, isn't it? You know, that renewing of your mind. You start to think and align your life and your thinking and your actions in line with God's word. That's some people say, well, that sounds like brainwashing. Well, if your brain needs to be washed, why not? Isn't that true? You know, if your brain needs a bit of a cleaning up, and, you know, most of us that have been in the world and come to Christ, we really need our brains washed up. I like Pastor Margaret's latest book. I think we're getting some more in. I think there's a box on the way. The book is called Train the Brain. Train the Brain. I assure you, it's all about, you know, just being those people that give themselves to the Word of God and take that old thinking and renew it with good thinking. Get rid of the stinking thinking and put good godly word thinking in there. It's an amazing thing to recognize God's grace and gifting on people's lives. Who's heard of motivational gifts? Who's heard of that term? Got a few heads nodding. The motivational gifts. These are gifts that are given by God, given to us. Most are surprised to know that these gifts, when they're told, these gifts are actually in our lives before we're born again. Okay? You ask, you know, you see some of these people that get out onto the big, out into the popularity, you know, pop culture, all of that, and they just seem to have this amazing gift. Where do you think that gift came from? God. God gave it to them. But they're just using it at the moment for their own purposes, and what we need to believe is God will bring them into the kingdom and use it for his purposes. One person I could think of straight away, Justin Bieber. Justin Bieber got saved. And God's just working in his life, I believe, just bringing him to a new place. And yeah, Kanye West got saved. There's a whole range of people out there, and they've got these amazing gifts there. And what they are, they're gifts of exaltation. And we'll read it in a minute. Gifts of exaltation, that ability to exhort. But you see, that's a gift they got before they get born again. And they're out there using it in the world. Motivational gifts are gifts God has given us. Most are surprised to hear that, but it's clear that the Lord's intention for us is to know that these gifts are from him, so that we can serve him and do it with the ability that he gives, and thereby glorify the Lord. Remember, God's gifts given to you are to glorify him, not to glorify you. Okay, that's the balance. That's where we start to really shine, is when we get that and go, okay, this is for God's purposes that I've got this gift on my life. I'm going to just read from Romans chapter 12. Again, a little bit further down there, it says in verse 3, "For I say through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." So you think according to the gifts that God's given you, you see. "But to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another." Look what he says in verse 6. "Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry," that's serving. You get someone who serves and you just can't stop them. Someone who's given to that ministry of helps. You just can't stop them, you know. But they need a bit of help understanding what that gift is. We were taught in Bible college that people with the ministry of helps on their life are so precious. But you know what their weakness is? Anyone heard what their weakness is? Anyone? Here's the weakness. They judge other people who are not serving. If, you know, they're given enough time to sort of get frustrated at some point, that's what they lean to. They start to find fault in what people are not doing, not what they are doing. You know, they don't see what they're doing. They're only sort of looking through the lens of how much they're doing. Very interesting. And there's some of that truth that we'll get to. It says, "All ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching." This is a gift you can have before you're even born again. Is it just a capacity to teach? Some people who have that gift end up in the teaching profession. "He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts," talking about Justin Bieber a few minutes ago, "in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Most people that will lead or be involved in worship teams have got exhortation on their life as well. And of course, get out there and exhort and encourage. "He who leads," that's that administrative gift. I've got an administrative gift. And it's funny, I didn't actually find out about it until I actually came to Christ. Didn't realise that it was on my life. But just that administrative thing, you know, it's just, things just drop things into order. You know, it's almost a natural thing that you feel that you just can do that. And not undaunted. "He who leads," it says, "with diligence." So there's a teaching right there. You know, if you've got an administrative gift, the Bible tells us, the Word of God tells us that you're to use it diligently. You know, getting into the very fine detail. "He who shows mercy," "with cheerfulness," it says. You know, some of you got a mercy gift. Some of you have felt, you know, it's like you're just soft-hearted toward other people. Just really soft-hearted. Jess, I see that mercy gift on you so often. You know, just that soft-heartedness, you know, that you have for people and drawn to people. And God will use it. it says there, with cheerfulness. It's something that you should be cheery about, you know. And there are other gifts, you know, and guess what? They're for the same purpose. So we talk about these gifts, these motivational gifts. There's other gifts as well. And they are for the same purpose, that we can shine for God and bring glory to Him. There's the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that are mentioned. And we can look at those later in this series. But the fivefold leadership gifts in Ephesians chapter 4. And again, you know, you see an understanding of what they're for. They equip God's people to do what they're called to do and to bring glory to His name. Get this and understand, you know, we're not called to serve God in our own strength. We're called to exchange our weakness for His strength. And, you know, the very thing that the Lord said to me when I was called to leadership ministry, and it came with go to Bible college. And the very interesting thing about that word was when He said go to Bible college, He said this, He said, there'll be an anointing for you. And I never really quite understood what He was talking about, but what the word anointing means, it means supernatural strengthening and an ability from God. And when you tap into that, I'll tell you a bit of a funny story. When we were going through Bible college, I think even in the last year of Bible college, in the last couple of years, we had home group. You know, we'd have home group, we'd have a Bible study, and we'd pray, and you know, we had a few breakthroughs. Some of you remember Dawn. She was close friends with a lady called Rochelle, and her husband, or her at that time, her fiancé, had flown into Perth to make way for them to get married, and of course, he was invited to our home group. And so there he was in our home group, and eventually we stood and prayed for him to get permanent visa, and then we stood and prayed for him for Rochelle to come out from Zimbabwe, actually. So there we are ministering and seeing these breakthroughs. This is wonderful, this little home group. But so there I am going through the process of finishing Bible college, and then we get prayed for at the, actually it's 30 years this year, 30 years in December 1991. We get prayed for, we graduate from Bible college, we get affiliated with Rhema Family Churches International, and we get ordained all on the same week. All happens on the same week. And of course, you know, we didn't really sort of think too much about it. What was interesting was is that after being all prayed for and ordained into pastoral ministry, the home group said, look, we should have one final home group. You guys are now going to be heading over to Queensland. We should have one final home group. And what was really funny was is that one of the guys, you know, in the group said, would you pray for me? I've got like a bit of had some ill health. And I said, yes, certainly. So I just went and prayed for him. And it was really amazing because he fell down on the ground after I prayed for him. And he'd been in my home group for 3 years. He'd never fallen over once when after I prayed for him. But what you say, what was different? I'd been actually ordained and had hands laid on me, and a gift had been extended to me. You know, it's really funny because, you know, I'm going, whoa, you know, it's sort of like I wanted to put that gun in its holster again, you know what I mean? It sort of seems so powerful, but it's funny how human nature kicks in, and, you know, next thing I'm going, next, who's next? But, you know, the thing about it is that with God's callings, there comes anointings. And we need to see those anointings. We need to see it. Not only that, but once we get to realize that other people around us are gifts, we can pull on that. We can pull on that gifting as well and glorify God for it. Give God the glory for it and see that that's something special in their life, God-given. And it should give glory to Him, to serve Him. Our determination, and I'll finish on this point, our determination to serve the Lord should be with an equal determination to serve Him with the ability that He gives and to serve Him with the gifts that make us shine for Him. Amen? Make us shine for Him. We should all be shining because we all have gifts from Him. Amen. Let's just pray before we worship team. I want to ask you to come. Why don't we all stand and just pray and ask the Lord a blessing on our word today. Father, we again thank You, Lord, for the ministry of Your word, Lord God. And we ask, Lord, that our hearts, having been opened to You, Lord, where it would be something imparted of you, Lord God, something planted of you, Lord God, where perhaps there's adjustment that needs to be made. We've been around the mirror of your word, Lord. We know we go to a mirror sometimes to see how we are, to look and see where we stand, Lord, and whether or not there's adjustments that need to be made. So we just commend this congregation, Lord, right now to you, the mirror of your word, Lord God. Lord, that we might be today not just hearers but doers, and start to inquire of your heart, Lord God, what giftings are upon our life, Lord. And I pray especially, Father, for those that are feeling and sitting here today, maybe feeling like their gifts have been dormant, not been utilized, not in function, Father. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak. Lord God, even if there's correction that's needed, Lord God, that you'd bring correction and an amendment, Lord God, where needed. Lord, that we might walk in the gifts that we have. And Lord God, minister in a way that brings glory to your name. We pray today in Jesus' name that we step that out this week and in the weeks to come, Lord. Just aware of your goodness in our lives, the wonderful gift-giving God that you are to us, in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said amen. Amen.